a little while, I really do feel such significance and such weight given to days like today. Say, what is that day? What is that time? What is significant about this Sunday? It is the 52nd Sunday of this year. It honestly seems just it seems like just a short time ago we were having the first Sunday of 2018, and now here we are at the end of this year. And I really think that there is something important about the end of a thing. There's something important about the beginning of a thing. There's something weighty about the end of a year. There's something beginning important and significant about the beginning of a new year. And right now, this Sunday, it literally is as far away from the beginning of 2018 as we can get. And yet it is as close to the beginning of the new year as we can get. So it is significant. And no doubt there are people who are excited to see 2018 go. You're happy to see this year come to an end. Maybe it has been a challenging year for you. Maybe it has been a difficult year for you. Maybe it's been a year of diagnosis or a year of pain. Maybe it has been a year of loss. Maybe it has been a year of struggle or learning how to cope with some new things happening in your life. Whatever the year has been, whatever this year has held, whatever this year has been for you, I'm thankful that the page is turning. I'm thankful that we are getting the opportunity for a clean slate. I'm thankful that we're getting the chance to look ahead and to look further and to see what it is that the Lord has for us in the new year. And that's really what I want to talk to you about today. I want to just ask that question, where to from here? Where to from here? What are we going to do from here? Where are we going to go from here? Individually, as a people, as you and I, where are we going to go from here? Who are we going to be in the new year? And I want to read today from Luke chapter 2. This is still what would be known as the Christmas story. I don't ever want a season to pass, Christmas season, holiday season, that I don't look fresh again at this story, because it contains so many truths and so much power in my opinion. But Luke chapter 2, I think, holds for us some answers if we look in and see clearly today and answer this question, where to from here. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 16, the Bible said, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of this child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb." There's several truths right here in this particular text that I think are valuable. I think they are important. The first thing that jumps out to me is that they came with haste. There was an urgency in them. There was an excitement inside of them. This was not something they were handling nonchalantly. This is not something they were handling just, you know, well, it's just another day, or it's just another Sunday, or it's just another time. No, there was an urgency in them. There was something that caused them to pick up their pace. There was something that caused them to move just a little bit faster. You know, if you're trying to get somewhere quick, maybe if you're in the airport and you're trying to make sure that you do not miss your plane, there's something about walking with purpose. There's something about moving ahead when you know there is somewhere you have to be. All of a sudden you get careful about how you walk. Sometimes you can be in a large crowd. You could be maybe in a mall during the height of the Christmas shopping season, and you just have a little bit of time. You just have that hour-long lunch break, and traffic was extra bad, so it took you longer to get to the mall than it normally does. And so you just have a small window, and you move in there, and just seem like everyone, they're just moving slow and window shopping, and they're just stopping right in front of you, and you're almost a little bit frustrated because you just need to get to that one store and buy that one thing that they've had on hold for you for 27 days. And if you can just get in there and pick up that one thing, then you can get back to your car and fight the traffic back to work. You're moving with haste because you have something that you are trying to accomplish. That's the way I see us at the end of this year. We're moving with haste toward what the Lord has for us in 2019, what the Lord has for us in the new year. These shepherds, these men, they were moving with haste. Why? Because they had heard the word of the angel. The angel had visited them out in the field and said, look, it's happening. The promise is coming. The miracle is coming. The breakthrough is coming. The healing for our world is coming. The help for our community is coming. So they began to move with haste. I wonder today what our new year would look like if we ran after it, if we reached for it, if we desired it, if we went searching for its meaning and reaching for its purpose. There's probably many of you who say, you know what, I don't do the resolution thing. I don't set goals. It's just another day on the calendar. It's just one more day. We're gonna eat some black-eyed peas for good luck, but it's just one more ordinary day. I would love for something to be born in your heart today. I would love for something to be stirred in your spirit today. I would love for something to happen in your mind today that would cause you to realize that this next year doesn't have to be an ordinary year for you. That the next few days do not have to be ordinary days for you. But you can discover purpose in your life, and you can step into this new season with a new anointing and a fresh perspective for all that God has for us. Is there anybody that is anticipating and believing and wondering, what is it that God wants to do in my life? I'm moving with haste. I want to see what it is. I'm not predicting the same old, but there is expectation. I believe we need to hear from God in the same way that the shepherds heard from the angel. We're tuned in. We're listening carefully. We're wondering, what is it that you are saying? What are you saying? I know families coming in and out, and there's lots of business and lots of hectic things happening around this time and around this season. But I hope between now and midnight tomorrow night, I hope between now and the new year, you can hear from the Lord like these shepherds heard from the angels. They moved with haste. They moved with haste. And then the Bible says that They went and made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. They didn't just keep this a secret in their hearts. They didn't just keep this quiet or keep this to themselves. You have to understand what was going on. They had lived for generation after generation without the voice of God. Without the presence of the Lord, if you will. Not as you and I understand it. They had gone through this period, this time, 400 years, known as the silent years. And so there were so many people that were anticipating. They had passed these promises and these prophecies down from one generation to the next generation. And of course, there were people who said, you know what, I've heard that all in my life. That's not ever going to happen. They've told me that. They've told me that every year. And I don't no more believe that than anything else. Nah, you're just telling folklore. You're just telling old stories. Stories that don't have any basis in reality. But because these shepherds knew, they knew what the angel had said. They knew it was the word of God. They went and spread it. Hey, this is it. This is the moment that we have been waiting for. These are the days that we have been looking for. This is the time. This is the season. This is the fulfillment of that promise. This is what we have been wanting. This is what we have been praying for. I don't know if you've been praying for anything. I don't know if you've been asking God for anything. I don't know if you've been saying, Lord, when is it going to happen? Maybe you've been waiting for a long time. Maybe it's something that your mama believed for. Maybe it's something that you felt was what was right and now 10 years ago, but it still has not happened. Listen, when you hear from God in a fresh way, when you hear from the Lord in a way that you know cannot be argued with or discounted, no one can talk you out of it. Go and spread the word to everyone in your house. Hey, this is what we have been waiting for. This is what we have been looking for. This is the time. Tell your kids. I know our kids are in today and our junior high are in today. This is what we have been praying for and believing for. This is why we get up and go to church every single Sunday. Because we've been waiting for this time. Waiting for this season. Waiting for this moment. And then the Bible said that when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, that his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. This is so interesting to me that after 8 days, they gave him an identity. They put a description on him. They put a name on him. He was no longer the it. He was no longer just the promise. He was no longer just the miracle. He has a name. He has a name. So if you look at it in terms of the way that we celebrate Christmas and New Year. I know December 25th is not the actual day that Jesus was born, but scholars believe that this is the season, this is the time frame that he was born in. But for the purposes of the dates that you and I use to celebrate the birth of Jesus, Christmas, the 25th of December was on Tuesday. So if he was born on Tuesday, then you have a Wednesday. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, and here we are at Sunday, which is the sixth day. You got to be careful on the sixth day, because six is the number of man. Six is the number that signifies, you know, man is able to mess something up. Man is able to doubt a thing so much and worry over a thing so much that he talks himself out of the promise. I'm sure there's an enemy sitting on your row saying, just stay tired and just stay asleep and just stay in holiday mode and don't hear anything that crazy preacher has to say on this last Sunday of the year. That's man talking. That's the spirit of man talking. That's the spirit of laziness that talks and says, don't believe for the impossible. Don't anticipate that your life could ever count for anything or could ever matter with any significance whatsoever. But listen, if you can survive the sixth day, if you can survive your own negative thoughts, if you can survive your own negative communication. I'm preaching better than you're hearing today. If you can survive your own mind that beats you and out of all of the promises of God, if you can get to the seventh day, and if you can get to Tuesday, which is the new year, then you can name this. You can declare this. You can say, wait a minute, this is not just any other move. This is not just any other day. This is not just any other season. But this is that. This is the promise that he spoke to me. This is the fulfillment of that prophecy that was declared over my life. It wasn't until they got to the eighth day. I can't stop at six. I can't quit when my mind tells me, no, there's nothing to that. I can't jump ship when my heart says, no, I don't want to trust again, because I don't want to risk being broken again or being left alone again or being left to struggle again. No, I don't want to bail out there. I want to hold on. I want to keep going. I want to keep pursuing. I want to keep reaching, because this has to be the year. 2019 has to be the year that we identify the it in our lives. This is not just something that happens occasionally. This is not just something I do one Sunday a month. This is everything to me. This is my promise. This is my miracle. This is my healing. This is my breakthrough. What do you need to name it in your life? This is not just some part of your spiritual experience. This is the paramount, chief cornerstone. This is everything in my life. Everything in my life is centered around Jesus. You're going to call his name Jesus. What if 2019 is the year that we finally give the miracle a name? What if we finally say, you know what? I'm not hiding it any longer. It's Jesus that is alive in me. It's not my charming good looks. It's not my winning personality. The blessings of God are not because I was born to the right parents or on the right side of the tracks. The reason I'm blessed is because of Jesus. If you want to know why I've got a smile on my face, his name is Jesus. If you want to know why I'm blessed far above, it's because of Jesus. If you want to know why I'm able to hold it together in the face of all kinds of struggle, it's because of Jesus. Is anybody thankful for Jesus in your life? Hallelujah. Look at somebody and tell them, Pastor came to preach today. Jesus, I'm naming it in 2019. I know they're trying to tell me it's not politically correct. We're just supposed to refer to the higher power. We're just supposed to acknowledge the big guy in the sky. It's the man upstairs or the woman upstairs. We got so much political correctness in our lives. We're not even allowed to name who it is. Just say God so that people can put their own interpretation of who God is. Maybe you're talking about Allah. Maybe you're talking about all the other ones that people worship in this day and time. Listen, I don't have time for all of that. I'm sorry you're misunderstanding what I'm saying. I'm sorry that who I'm worshiping offends you. But as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. Not Allah, not no prophet somewhere. I'm worshiping Jesus. They call the Christ. It's Jesus that took my sin away. It's Jesus who washed me and cleansed me and made me new. I'm giving this miracle a name. His name is Jesus. Gonna call his name Jesus. And he's going to save people from their sin. I make no apology for worshiping Jesus. I make no excuses for worshiping Jesus. I'm not going to be offensive to anyone. I'm not going to cram that down anyone's throat. I've got coworkers and family and neighbors and friends who do not worship like I do. I'm not here to judge them or make them feel any kind of way or tell them they're wrong every time we meet at the mailbox to get our mail. No, that's not my job. But listen, I am not going to be ashamed of what God has done in my life. I encourage you in this new year to be more bold than you've ever been, to be more declarative than you've ever been, to say, you know what, it is Jesus in my life. That's it. That's all. There's nothing else. It is Jesus that I worship. It's Jesus that I serve. It's Jesus who I give my life to afresh. They named him. They named him. They gave him the name. His name nor his plan was a secret to them. They knew who they were supposed to name. They knew what they were. The angel said, listen, you're going to have a child and you're going to call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. He didn't keep his plan a secret from them. Oh, I don't know what this means. I don't know what this is. I know something is happening. I know something is moving. I know something is working, but I don't even know how to describe it. You don't have to. It's not a secret. Just say, Jesus. That's who he is. His plan was not a secret, but he needed them to say it. He needed them to seal it. He needed them to finalize it. And so on the eighth day, as was the custom, Jesus had his circumcision. And they said, it's official. You are Jesus. We're naming you what the angel told us to name you. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. It matters. It's important because my experience has a name. He's not a what in my life. He is a who in my life. It's not just that church I go to. It's who is alive in me. It's the way that he works in me. And then the Bible talks about the right people being around them. You read down a little further into Luke chapter 2, you meet Simeon, the priest. And then there's a woman named Anna, who is a prophetess. And then there is Joseph's mother. All of them come together for a common purpose. In fact, Luke 2 and verse 26 says that it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. This is Simeon, who is an aged man, well up in years and needing to die, but he can't because God had given him a promise that he would see Jesus for himself. Anna, who is not connected to Simeon, Joseph's mother, who's yet another character over here, separated and apart. All of them have heard the same thing. You are going to see it with your own eyes. You are not going to die until this happens. You will witness Jesus, they call the Christ. So here are these people saying, hey, I don't know when, I don't know how, I don't know from where, but I just know that God told me, God has spoken to me that this is going to happen. See, I feel like the Lord told me to tell somebody on this last Sunday of 2018, people in this room who have carried promises, people in this house who have walked a long time believing that something was going to happen for your kids, believing something was going to happen for your marriage, believing something was going to happen in your finances. But sometimes that sixth day, it gets the best of me because I start doubting, you know, because it's been so long. I've been waiting for so long. I've been tarrying in this upper room for so long. I've been believing for so long, but my unbelief is getting the best of me. But these people said, no. I know that God spoke to me what would happen in 2019 if some of those promises would be revived in us. Some of the things that we heard God say, some of the things that we know God promised, some of the promises for your family, some of the promises for your business, some of the promises for your house, if we would say, you know what, this is my year to see it happen, to believe that it is going to be fulfilled in my life. What has God promised you? Fine, it didn't happen in 18. But I'm not about to give up. Not about to throw in the towel. Not about to say, well, I guess it'll never happen. No, because that's not how promises work. Promises are only fulfilled to people who believe in them. This book is full of promises. The Bible you have in front of you is full of promises, but none of them work unless you believe in them. You don't see any of them come to pass unless your faith is pointed in their direction. So what is my promise that I'm going into the new year with? What is the thing that I'm believing God for? Because here's one thing I can promise you: in the end, everything will be all right for you. And if it's not all right, then it's not the end. I'm going to say it again. In the end, everything will be all right for you. So if it's not all right in your life right now, guess what? It's not the end. That's why you have to keep going. That's why you have to keep rowing the boat. That's why you have to keep pushing ahead. You have to keep reaching for what is next, believing for what is to come. 2018 may have been your worst year, so I look for 2019 to be my best year. Why? Because I've got the promise of God in my life. So where to? From here. Where do we go from here? What do we do from here? Luke chapter 2, verse 39. The Bible said that When they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. When all of these things had been done, they've seen him born. They saw him over there in the manger. They waited 8 days until he was circumcised, and they saw him write the name Jesus down on that birth certificate. That's him. All of these things have been fulfilled. Simeon said, this is it. This is what we've been waiting for. Anna, the prophet, has said, this is what we've been waiting for. Joseph, yes, this is all right. This is all. So where to from here? What do we do now? Where do we go? What do we say? What do we do? We heard you preach on the last Sunday of 2018, but what do we do now? Oh, I'm glad you asked. I don't ever want to leave you any Sunday without knowing what to do next. Last thing I'd want to do is get you hyped up and believing, but not equipped to know where to go or what to do. What did they do? The Bible said that they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. They went to their city. They went to their community. They went to their place of business. They went to their houses. They went to their neighborhood. Let me ask you, what if in 2019 we took Jesus to our personal communities? We probably assume that there was this great representation of people that saw him in the manger. The reality is there were very few, at least that we have record of. We probably think the waiting room was packed on the day that Jesus was circumcised. Or maybe they sold tickets and allowed people to come in and peer and see him for themselves. But no, it was just mom and dad, just the normal. I mean, how many people did you let into the room? You know, no, it was private. It was so people didn't know. The word was not out. A story was not widespread. So what did it require? It required that when Daryl found out about the promise in his life, that he went and told every single person that he knew. It required that when Lydia found out how good God, that she went and told everyone that she knew. It required that Felix, when he found out what God wanted to do in his life, and that he went and told everyone that he knew. What would happen in 2019 if we would take Jesus to our own personal communities, our places of work, our places where we school, our neighborhoods where we live? If we would share what we know with everyone that we come in contact with. Because each of us have a sphere of influence. It's where we live, it's where we work, it's where we do what we do. We all have a sphere of influence. What if we used a portion of our influence, a portion of our talent, a portion of our abilities, Not to make more for ourselves, not to do more for ourselves, not to build our own name. What if we used a portion of our influence to make Jesus famous everywhere that we go? I need to push for this in the new year, and I'm going to, because I think as a church we have a responsibility. Listen, two Mondays ago, maybe. We had over 900 people in this building for a high school band concert. It was packed. We had chairs from all over the building filling up this auditorium. And still, there were people standing along the wall, people sitting along the wall. Standing room only. And there were so many of our team church volunteers that were here that night helping to greet or serve or just play host to an event that was not ours. It wasn't our event. They were just using our building for a high school band Christmas concert. But I can't tell you how many from our team, all individually, all just catching the vision, walk up, "Pastor, this is our church. This is our church. Pastor, this is Sunday. Pastor, this is what we're doing. This is where we're going. This is what God wants to do right here at the Church Covington. This is our church. This is what God wants to do." But hear me. If we're waiting on band concerts to fill up our building, if we're waiting on paid events and funerals to pack out our building, we're missing something. I was in the grocery store just a few days ago, and a man pushed his buggy past me, and he got past me, and he stopped, and he turned around, and he said, the church at Covington. I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You're the pastor." I said, "I am." I was there for a band concert. Never been in that building before. I said, "Well, make sure it's not your last time." He said, "You know what? I'm going to do that. I'm going to come back on a Sunday." Why? Because this is so much bigger than tubas and French horns and violins. What would happen if you and I, you sit on these same rows every Sunday? Look down your row. You got any empty seats on your row? Got any chairs beside you? What would happen mentally, spiritually, Crystal Baker, if you would just start naming those four seats you got open beside you? In 2019, I'm going to make sure that uncle's sitting in that one, brother's sitting in that one, neighbor sitting in that one. That's neighbor's seat. Oh, you can sit there today, but that's my neighbor's seat. It's just a matter of time. They're coming in 2019. What if we took what we have and we told everyone about it? Make sure it's on the billboard. Had a big day the other day, and someone stopped me in the lobby and said, "Make sure you put that on Facebook." We'll do all that. We'll do every bit of it. I'll be thrilled when we have billboards and commercials and have budget to advertise all over 3-4 counties around us. But until then, you and I have to be the billboard. I'm a big billboard. You and I have to be the megaphone. You and I have to tell the story. They went to their own city, Nazareth. This is great what's happening in Bethlehem. It's incredible what's happening in Jerusalem. But I need Nazareth to experience this. It's great what's happening in this building, but I need what I feel in this building to be felt in my workplace. So, Lord, I'm going to bottle you up, put you in every pocket I have. And when I get to work tomorrow, I'm going to empty my pockets. Presence of God, get in this office, get in this HR room. Get in this warehouse, and I'm going to come back the next Sunday, and I'm going to fill my pockets up again, and I'm going to go back to work and I'm going to empty them out and say, you know what, church is not just something I do on Sunday, but it's something I do every single day of the week. Worship is not something that it's just my one song being sung. No, worship is the lifestyle that I walk and talk and live every single day. Where to from here? I don't know about you, but that's where I'm going. That's what my 2019 looks like. That's what my new year looks like, is Jesus everywhere I am. What about you? What about you? You're not a resolution person. I'll tell you one you can adopt right out of the Word of God. Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. And the child grew, became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Let that be your resolution. I'm going to grow. I'm going to become strong in spirit. I'm going to be filled with wisdom. And God's grace is going to be over my life. You see, in this new year, it's God's will for all of us to grow, for all of us to mature, to gain wisdom, to become stronger. See, I can take what happened in 2018 and I can build on it for a better 2019. I'm here to tell you today that not one single bad day in 2018 is wasted. No, it's not wasted. The darkest day, the worst day, the most horrific day you've lived in 2018, it's not wasted. You may want to forget it, but don't forget what you learned from it. Take that experience into the new year. You know what my challenge would be for every person in this house? It's Family Sunday. I got kids in. We got everybody in. I want everyone to hear. 2019, I want you to decide. I want you to make it your desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit in 2019. Everybody. Oh, I got that. That's happened for me. All right, be filled again. Oh, that's not for me. No, I'm here to tell you it is for you. Hear me, students in high school. Hear me, middle schoolers. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen to me, kiddos, church kids. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not weird. It's not whack. It's not off. It's God's gift. And I want it. In my life, I want it. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not wrong, it's not out of order. I won't allow it to get out of order. It's not crazy, we won't allow it to be crazy. It's God's gift for you, and you can have it if you want it. He wants you to have it. Let that be your desire in 2019. Seemed appropriate to close 2018 with communion, to finish this year with communion. What does that signify? What does that say? You know what? Everything in 2018 is under the blood. It's under the blood. Coming up in the church, we used to plead the blood a lot. We pled the blood over everything. When we needed something to break, when we needed something to happen, when we needed someone to get right, we just pled the blood. I love what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, say, that's me. That's me, anyone. And if you're not in Christ, give me just a moment. I want to lead you today to Christ. If you're not sure about where you stand, I want to lead you to where Jesus is. But he said, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It won't be long. You'll be saying, that's so 2018. And that's poor Jude. He'll just learn a cool word, and Elle will tell him, that's, no one's saying that anymore. That's old. It's not cool anymore. That mess is so 2018. That's old stuff. What happened? It's under the blood. That pain, that diagnosis, that trouble, that struggle, that's so 2000. That's old stuff. What happened? I put that under the blood on the last Sunday of that year. And I'm walking into 2019 with a clean slate. Everything is new. I want our communion attendants to come and join our tables today. Our ushers can come and direct so that we have some order. But hear me. I don't want this to just be a communion that you just go back to your seat. You can do whatever you want to do. Do what is comfortable for you to do. But this is our altar call today. And we want to serve everyone. So if you want to get your cup and make your way to the sides, or let everyone get served and spend some time in prayer before you run to lunch. Spend some time talking to the Lord. Don't just quickly take that cup and that bread and just do what you do every month. No, consider for just a moment. This is under the blood. Name it. Declare. What is it that's under the blood? This. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not remembering this anymore. I'm not struggling with this anymore. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for every heart in this house. I thank you for every life in this place. I thank you for every person, man, woman, boy, girl. I thank you. I thank you for those saved. I thank you for those desiring. I thank you for those wondering, searching. Today, Lord, you are doing something spiritually significant in my life. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss what you have for me today. Today, when I take this cup, today, when I remember your sacrifice, I'm thanking you for the power that is in that blood.